They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disaster Relief? And the reason we're talking about this is because it's pertinent. The Bible speaks to every area of life. And we actually started, I know we've covered this several weeks, but we actually started this right after Hurricane Ian came through, and there was a call for federal money to come into the state, and this happens really not just with hurricanes, it doesn't just happen in the state of Florida, it happens really anytime there's a natural disaster, there's a call for the federal government to intervene, and for the government to take money from some and give it to others, or take money from many and give it to others, or really in the case that what we see happening today, where we're actually spending more money than what we have, we're actually borrowing money, which means that future generations, we're actually taking that money from future generations and giving it to those who are in need. And certainly those who are in need are in need. But that doesn't mean that the federal government should be the one supplying that need. And we should actually look to the Bible and see what the Bible says should happen. And we've talked about how really this nation is under God's judgment. And why is this nation under God's judgment? This nation is under God's judgment because we have sinned, because we have violated His commandments. And He has brought forth His judgment upon us. And we need to actually turn from our wicked ways. We need to serve Him. We need to cry out to Him and ask Him to have mercy on behalf of this nation. But we have looked at reasons that God judges individuals and nations. And one, we saw that God judges individuals and nations to punish sin. He also judges individuals and nations, not just to punish sin, but also to bring justice so that those who are perpetrators of crime are punished and those who are victims are made whole and made right. And this is something that we see throughout the Bible. You'll see this in many places in the Bible, God doing this. But we need to realize that even if someone, and there are people that appear to escape God's judgment or escape justice here on this earth, but we know that everyone will stand before their Maker. Every single person, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And let me tell you, even if you've been an altar boy or a choir boy, even if you've done good, even if you have walked old ladies across the street and have a perfect attendance in Sunday school and have given tithes and alms and have done great things for people, even if you've done most things right, you still are a sinner and you still are going to face judgment and you're still going to stand before God. And unless your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell, an eternal judgment. But we know that we can actually come to God. We can come to Jesus Christ and we can actually cry out to Him and the blood of Jesus will wash away all of our sins. We also saw that individuals and nations are punished when the land is defiled. And we can read about this. We've read portions of Leviticus 18, but in Leviticus 18 and 20, God warns the children of Israel not to commit certain sins. If you commit these sins, He says, the land will be defiled. And because the nations that were in the land before you committed these sins, the land was defiled, and the land actually vomited forth the inhabitants. And so it's important for us to see that it's very important for us to know that we need to serve God, and we need to keep His commandments. If we commit those sins, the land will be defiled, and the land will vomit them forth. And that phrase, the land vomiting them forth, you actually see the land, creation, participating in the judgment of God. And in Romans chapter 8, we actually see that creation is not subject to futility or sin willingly. In other words, if creation had its way, creation would destroy the wicked. Now, why does God allow the wicked to continue? The reason is that God is patient. God is long-suffering. God wants to give people a chance to repent. And in fact, throughout the prophets, you'll see calls to repent, calls to the nation to repent. And you actually have an opportunity to turn back from your wicked ways and to repent as individuals and as nations. And just think, if creation had destroyed you before you repented, or maybe you haven't repented yet, what if creation were to destroy you right now? When that could happen, by the way, there's none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, which is why we need to get right with God today. Even those who have made their peace with God and have accepted Jesus, have repented of their sins. The Bible tells us that we are to bow before the throne of grace and to make our calling and election sure. That's an interesting concept. Because election is by God. God is the one that elects, yet we are to exercise our personal responsibility to make sure that we are elect. We are to humble ourselves before Him. We are to make our calling and election sure. We are to make sure that we are still in the faith. God has called us to do this, and He wants us to serve Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so it is important for us to keep His commandments and to follow His precepts and to not commit certain sins, so that the land will not be defiled and that the land will not vomit forth its inhabitants. And when you see really what we've seen with hurricanes and tornadoes and wildfires and floods, and you see really creation rising up in judgment against this nation, and we need to turn back to God. We also see that God judges individuals and nations when innocent blood is shed. And we read from 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 2 through 4, about this very concept of, because Manasseh shed very much innocent blood and filled Jerusalem with blood, that God judged the nation of Israel because of that sin. We also have shown from Romans chapter 9, we showed this last week, that God judges individuals and nations to reveal His power and His wrath. And we're going to continue this concept today, and we're going to look at a new concept, and that concept is that God brings His judgment upon individuals and nations to restrain further evil, or in other words, to keep them back, to hold them back from committing further iniquity and committing further sin. And really, this is a role, this is the primary role of the civil magistrate, is to restrain evil. And we'll look at this in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So we see that we are to be subject to those who are in authority. Why? For they are appointed by God, and they exist by God. And if we resist them, then we're resisting the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And you see here, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So rulers are to a godly ruler. In fact, any ruler is appointed by God to punish the wicked and to reward the righteous. And when rulers depart from that, when rulers will refuse to restrain the wicked, when rulers like in America, where we had in one time, and really all throughout the world at that same time, where rulers allowed men to be bought and sold, men and women to be bought and sold through slavery, and even today, you may or may not know this, but in over 100 of the nations in the United Nations, more than half of the nations in the United Nations, slavery is still legal. And there are actually more slaves today in countries, including African countries, than were enslaved in America during the African enslavement period. But we have seen in this nation where our civil magistrates failed to restrain the wicked. It was wicked for someone to own someone else. And it's still wicked today. And today we have our government actually refusing to arrest abortionists who are murdering preborn children, who are ripping babies limb from limb, or crushing their skull, or poisoning the babies inside the mother's womb, or giving the mothers a pill to take and then another pill to take. And those pills actually cause a violent labor and delivery of a dead baby. And so really you see something that really should result in prosecution. This is actually a murder. In fact, one of my friends, before I knew him, when I was in Milwaukee as a missionary to the preborn, one of the things we did there was a video that was produced that showed what abortion is. And the pro-life organization up there that I was a part of, Missionaries to the Preborn, raised money and actually purchased 200,000 copies of this video. And we went out, pro-lifers went out one Saturday morning and distributed these door to door, these videos that showed abortion. And on the front of it, it just said, "Seeing is believing." It had an eyeball, which actually was Bill Clinton's eyeball, ironically enough. But seeing is believing. And it showed what abortion is. And many people watched this. And in fact, it made the news because people were outraged that someone would actually put this video on their door. You know, sometimes people get more upset with the person that delivers the news, that reports what is happening, that exposes the sin, than they get with the sin itself. You see, most people in America, many people in America are fully okay to allow preborn children to be killed by abortion as long as they aren't reminded about it. But there was an outcry because we reminded people and showed people and revealed to people what was happening. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says that we are to expose the works of darkness. We are not to cover them up. We're not to act like they're not happening. We are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we actually did expose the works of darkness. We showed forth, we showed this video, and people, again, were complaining about it. The reporters were reporting on it. And of course, that just piqued people's curiosity even more. And people wanted to see it. And people did see it. And one of those people that saw it is a man that has become a friend of mine named Alan Love. Alan Love was working in the prosecutor's office for Milwaukee. And he actually saw, what he saw was actually the evidence of a murder. And he saw evidence that a murder had happened. And from a prosecutor's standpoint, he was convinced that abortion is murder. And really, what you see today and what you saw back then and what you still see today is that law enforcement officers will not, in most states, arrest abortionists. Now, we know that now after Roe versus Wade has fallen, there are some states where abortion has become illegal, but not in the state of Florida. In the state of Florida, we're actually killing more babies than before because women are coming from surrounding states and having abortion vacations in the state of Florida. We are an abortion destination. We are a sanctuary city. We should be a sanctuary city for life, a sanctuary state for life. But instead, we are a sanctuary state for those who want to kill innocent babies. Children who want to shed the blood of the innocent. And we need to actually stand. And so the government is not restraining evil. The government is actually rewarding the abortionists with protection and punishing those who would stand up and protect innocent human life. So rulers are not to be a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So this is the purpose. This is the primary purpose of government. It's not to give money out to people who are in need. You won't see that in the Bible. The only time that has ever happened was during the time where there were seven plentiful years in the land of Egypt and Israel. And then there were 7 years of famine. And during that time, prior to that time, God had shown to Pharaoh a dream, and Joseph interpreted that dream. Joseph was appointed to oversee that project. The people of Egypt, actually, during those seven plentiful years, brought portions of their grain to Pharaoh, and then in the seven lean years, they actually came back and they bought the grain back. And when their money was out, they bought the grain back with their cattle. And when their cattle was back out, they bought the grain with their land. And they people that had money, that had cattle, that had land in the beginning, were Pharaoh's servants at the end. So that's the only place in the Bible that you'll actually see God authorizing the government to intervene on behalf of those who were in need. And even that was not taking money from some or from even from all and giving it to some. Everyone was held to the same standard. But even that run by that program, run by a wise, godly man, still resulted in the enslavement of a nation. And here we see that civil magistrates are supposed to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And it says, therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. But what happens when the government, when the civil magistrates fail to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. What happens when they start like we have in this country today, rewarding the wicked by protecting the abortionist and punishing those who would actually seek to protect their lives? And certainly there are certain things that you can do to protect the life of preborn children that are legal, but there are also things like what I used to do when I was a missionary to the preborn, sitting in front of the doors of abortion clinics to block the doors and to peacefully protect preborn children from abortion. And I was arrested many times, and I spent about 3 years of my life, not at once, but altogether, the most at once was about 16 months, spent that time in jail, actually, for peacefully protecting preborn children. So when you see the government not, and the civil magistrate not punishing the wicked, instead punishing the righteous and rewarding the wicked, then what you have is God then has to start punishing the wicked and rewarding the righteous. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 28, we read that there was a man who was a king of a foreign land named Sennacherib, and he was coming to Israel. He was coming to Judah, and he was threatening to take over. He was threatening to take them captive. And Hezekiah cried out to God. And part of the response says this in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 28, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and will turn you back by the way which you came. And he goes on to further describe the judgment that would come upon him, but we actually see that judgment did come upon Sennacherib, and that passage did come true. But you see God frustrating the plans of the wicked. You'll also see this in Psalm 37, verses 12 through 15. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright, of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. And we see here that the wicked plotting against the just, and God laughing at the wicked. Why is God laughing at the wicked? Because God is sovereign, and he knows that the wicked cannot go beyond what he will allow them to go. And we see here them plotting and laying a trap, laying a snare, this sword entering their own heart, and the bow that they have being broken. You also see in Psalm 33, verses 10 through 11, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So nations may plot, they may try to do various things, but unless that is in God's will, unless God allows them to do that, they will not be permitted to do what they are actually doing, because God makes their counsel, their plans, of no effect. And one of the passages that shows this so clearly is Psalm chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. And here you see the nations plotting and the kings of the earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. How are they doing this? When they are violating his commandments, when they're coming against a righteous people, when they're coming against the righteous and punishing the righteous, you see wickedness happening. And God then rises up and laughs at them and frustrates the plans of the wicked. And what you see really happening in nations that depart from God's precepts, and you see the judgments of God, and you see natural disasters, and you see various types of calamity happening, even incompetent or wicked rulers being raised up like we have in our nation right now. What you see is you see actually wickedness happening, and you see more and more of the energy, of the profits, of the wealth of that nation being and the time in that nation going to actually rebuilding things that already were there, as opposed to having the time, having the money, having the resources, having the energy to actually commit more wickedness. So the judgments of God are actually merciful. When God judges nations, when God's judgment comes upon a nation, that judgment itself, the very act of having to deal with the destruction, having to deal with your roof being blown off your house, having to deal with, we even saw some houses just totally flattened, just sticks left. Having to spend that time rebuilding reduces the amount of time and energy and money that can be spent committing further wickedness. So this is another aspect of God's judgment. God brings his judgment on individuals and nations to further restrain evil, to further restrain wickedness, and to bring them to a place where they can repent of their sins. And we'll talk more about that next week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Every nation will bow.